on this day, November 2, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1940, 400 people went to Albert Hall for a Halloween party organised by the Guilds of the Church of St Andrew, the Highland Society and the Burns Club. It featured skirling bagpipes and orchestra, Scottish songs, Halloween games and a Highland fling or two. R.P. Christie sketched the disputed explanation of the origins of Halloween as a pre-Christian Druid festival intended to ward off ghosts at the end of the northern summer. The evening closed with the singing of Auld Lang Syne and the National Anthem. On this day in 1960, the National Librarian Harold White presented Dr. Clyde Finlay with a copy of a rare film about the naming of Canberra made in 1913. It had been missing for 21 years until Dr. Finlay discovered some children playing with a roll of it. The National Film and Sound Archive restored the film a few years ago. It now shows very clearly events on March 12, 1913, at a formal naming ceremony for the new capital. Governor-General Lord Thomas Denman, Prime Minister Andrew Fisher, and Minister for Home Affairs King O'Malley laid foundation stones. The Governor-General's wife, Lady Denman, in an ostrich-plumed hat and pearls, announced that Canberra would be the name of the capital. Raymond Longford directed the 20-minute film. Ernest Higgins of Spencer Pictures Limited shot it. The film is particularly interesting for views it provides of the Canberra region before Canberra was superimposed on it. A link is on the On This Day page on the ArtSound website. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 3, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. All this week in 1960, the Australian National Council of Women met in Canberra at St John's Parish Centre to discuss such topics as equal pay for women, increasing child endowments, and the marriage bar. The marriage bar forced women to leave the public service when they married. Delegates to the meeting argued that Australia was severely out of step internationally. It had retained the bar almost 14 years longer than Britain. The Public Service Board was studying the issue. Australia retained the bar, introduced early in the 20th century, until 1966. Also this week in 1960, the conversion of Canberra's then-Premier Parkland, Westbourne Woods Arboretum, to the private Royal Canberra Golf Course got underway. Public opposition was to no avail as the National Capital Development Commission, formed in 1958, acceded to the transfer to private hands of a vast 92-hectare site in the heart of Canberra's Lakeland. The Canberra Golf Club had been behind the Hotel Canberra on the river flats on both sides of the Molonglo River, and before that by the old racecourse in Acton, also submerged when Lake Burley Griffin was created. How Westbourne Woods came to be transferred to private hands and a private golf course opened there in 1962 is a long story, which includes the club having built its earlier course on river flats that Walter Burley Griffin's plan for Canberra had slated for flooding way back at Canberra's origins. In recognition of the importance of the club to Canberra's better heeled citizens, King George V had granted royal status in 1933. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 4, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1930, with the arrival of talkies at area movie houses 5 weeks earlier, Canberra residents were complaining about the films shown at the Capitol Theatre by comparison with those exhibited in Queanbeyan. They asked, couldn't Albert Hall be repurposed to exhibit talkie films of a higher standard? Because the better circumstanced residents of Canberra are drifting to Queanbeyan for their entertainment. Also in 1930, by the way, a national craze for miniature golf reached Canberra. Its first course opened at a residential property in Braddon, a 9-hole, 100-metre course illuminated for evening play. This week in 1970, The National Capital Development Commission sought to ease concerns about the Postmaster General's plan to build a radio relay and television tower on top of Black Mountain. It would transmit signals from Canberra as far as Wagga, replacing lesser antennas on Red Hill and Black Mountain. The tallest of those was 160 metres, while the intended new one would be 186 metres. The Society for Social Responsibility in Science argued that the NCDC was being bullied by instrumentalities such as the Postmaster General's Department and the Electricity Authority. After all, wasn't the NCDC, like the Department of the Interior, trying to make Canberra a beautiful and well-planned city? The group pressed this point, saying, "The visual quality of Black Mountain as a bushland background against which to see Canberra will be seriously impaired if it is to be crowned by this brazen and intrusive symbol of the electronic communications industry." On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On This Day, November 5, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1970, the ANU and the Department of the Interior were presenting 7 days Leonard French's large paintings inspired by the biblical creation myth. Ken Meyer of the Meyer Retail family had given them to the ANU in the early 1960s. University architect Derek Fuller Wrigley, who had hung them in buildings around the campus, decided to bring them greater public awareness by exhibiting them in Civic Square's South Building. Wrigley was an English-born designer who came to the ANU in 1957 and served as university architect from 1961 to 1977. He later recalled, "I designed the whole exhibition to be in total darkness with shielded spotlights illuminating just the paintings themselves, each secluded in its own bay and more colourful than the one before. Viewers came finally upon the massive seventh day, almost 4 metres in diameter. Mounting it," Wrigley recalled, "required quite a structure to keep it vertical." When Leonard French saw the exhibition, Wrigley added, he said, "It looked terrific." By coincidence, a variety of art that particularly interested Leonard French was on display this week in 1970. Characterized as primitive art, 160 objects from New Guinea were on display at the Canberra Theatre Gallery. Collected by 2 Sydney curators, most were religious objects representing spirits, benevolent or malevolent, used in ceremonies, rituals and magic. Among the exhibits were totemic fish, birds and other animals, such as huge dance masks with totemic cassowaries or pigs, elaborately crafted bowls, pots, arrows, shields, and canoe prows adorned with shells, pig's teeth and tusks, beetles and fur and feathers. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 6, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1970 and the day before, Chinese-born and raised pianist Fu Song appeared with the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Janos Ferencsik of the Hungarian State Symphony, in sold-out ABC Concert Series performances at the Canberra Theatre. Fu Song performed, for example, Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 25 in C major, and he did it with one finger bandaged. With his 9 good fingers, he gave a more integrated and brilliant performance than most pianists can manage with 10, wrote Canberra Times reviewer W.L. Bill Hoffman. Fu Song has been a remarkable figure in classical music performance. Born in 1934, he was raised by intellectual parents in cosmopolitan Shanghai. There he studied with Mario Paci, the Italian founder of the Shanghai Symphony Orchestra. Around the age of 20, Fu Song began studies in Poland and competed to great acclaim. In 1958, he settled in London. Throughout the 1960s, he was married to the daughter of Yehudi Menuhin, and he travelled the world to perform and record. He was particularly celebrated for his renditions of Mozart and Schumann, and even more so Chopin, whose works he related to classical Chinese landscape painting. As his career progressed, back in China, his family experienced great suffering. Fuzong's father was a prominent translator of European classics into Chinese. His parents were persecuted during Mao's Cultural Revolution, and 4 years before Fuzong's 1970 appearance in Canberra, they had taken their own lives. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab.